Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Omega Cast 7. Tonight, we got a smorgasbord of entertaining Steeler fans from all over the globe. And I will welcome, first and foremost, on my team, special field correspondent, Shane Stodmiller. Shane, how you doing this evening?
Oh, I'll tell you what is exciting. From one continent to another, we're going to be worldwide, like Prestige Worldwide, Boats and Hoes.
Well, yeah. Well, you know what, everybody? We had him on a couple weeks ago on the Triple B Black Mill Dynasty show, and it is my pleasure because this mega cast is going international. And this is my friend, Mark, from Steeler Nation Australia. Mark, how you doing this evening?
G'day, guys. Even in Australia, Trubisky's still our quarterback. So, look, I don't know. I'm doing well, but you guys need to help me today because I'm not the biggest fan of him.
You are going to have a little hard time with this today, aren't you?
I don't know. He's not exciting to watch. He's not exciting at all. He reminds me of Jay Cutler, and that just annoys
God.
Me.
Oh, God. So. Well, we beat him in the playoffs. But everybody, this is my side. And I am going to welcome the host of Steelers Realm Podcast. They won the gold medal. They won the heavyweight title. I am the Intercontinental Champion of podcasting. But this is our man, JT. JT, how you doing this evening?
Hey, Steeler Nation. Hey, Boa. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Good to be with you, man. We appreciate it.
This is awesome.
We kind of threw it together last minute, but it made a lot of sense for us all to get together tonight. Talk about this upcoming game and let's see if we can't kind of correct things a little bit. I kind of disappeared there. So, okay, there he is. But hey, anyhow, we are Steelers Realm Podcast. I'm JT, and one of my other hosts couldn't make it tonight. TA, we're going to give a shout out to him out in the heart of Browns country. But also in the heart of Browns country, too, is my man Freight Train from Steelers Realm Podcast as well. There he is.
Woo-hoo! Let's go. Let's get ready for this.
There we go.
Classic slugfest that we're about to watch.
It's a heavyweight title match tomorrow night. Heavyweight title match tomorrow.
Anyhow, he's driving the train, man, and he's got his conductor hat on, too. And I also want to welcome our man Shane Man from our PSF group and recently kind of being with us on Steelers Realm Podcast as well too. So welcome, Shane. We got two Shanes on here as well.
Yeah.
And it's good to be with you guys.
Yeah, Shane Squared.
Shane Squared too.
That's Kelsey. That's the long lost Kelsey brother.
Just with a Y instead of just the A and E at the end. So you got to differentiate, you know, somehow. So
why don't we go around the horn real quick.
Change your name to Swifty just for tonight.
No, I'm good. I'll pass on that one, Freight Train. Thanks.
No, that one. The other one. The other bearded one.
I feel naked without one here. You know what I mean? I'm the biggest guy here, and I can't grow anything.
I'm albino. I've been trying to grow one for like 10 damn years. I can't figure it out.
You got a Sid Crosby, stash. Crazy. Oh, but before we jump into it, man, why don't we go around the horn and everybody kind of introduce since we're worldwide, let everybody know what we have going on through the week and how we came to be. So, Bubba, why don't you kick us off with the Triple B experience and what you guys got going on?
Well, the Triple B experience, we're going almost every other day here. We are going formatted. Today is usually Wednesday nights, are usually the Black and Gold show that I have with the Steelers show. Me and Shane, we also do the NFL picks with the smartest man in Philadelphia, Rich Smoke. We do college and the NFL, but we are going to combine it tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And then 9 o'clock on Friday nights is my pulp culture. But we also do a Mania Megacast where we talk wrestling, and we have a big show next week on the 15th with everybody in the house. So that's what we're doing. It's every day I'm doing something.
Just because I'm leading everybody in percentage points.
Oh, I didn't even say. I forgot. I didn't see you last week. Yeah, I forgot you. Now, Freight Train is part of our NFL college.
I'm saying Freight Train. I'm ahead of you by half a percentage point now.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So it's all because of the Colts. Because you keep picking the damn Colts.
That's right.
Well, Shane, tell us about the big what do you call it, the big X fan show?
The Big 12 fan show. That'll be starting Monday on a network, a college sports network. It'll be our first show. We're going to talk about Big 12 college sports, talk about some conference realignment, some issues, maybe touch on the FSU getting snubbed. But I'm also the Barney Fife to Bubba's Andy Griffith, and I'm also his Cliff to his Norm. So I follow him around like a lost puppy. You can see him on all his channels.
He's a great help.
So that's where you can see me. So Monday at the Big 12 fan show.
Nice.
I have a co-host, Joey. This is a show that they had some other folks that were doing shows that have moved on. The one guy passed away, so we're going to be filling a void. There's no Big 12 show. They have an SEC show. They have all these other shows on this network. So we're going to be doing talking about all of the new teams in the Big 12. So.
Sweet. And for those Steelers fans out there, just got exposed to Mark for the first time tonight. Mark, what do you got going on there, Australia?
Not too much. I'm like one of the only maybe 10 fans down here in Australia. So, there's not many of us here. But like the reason why I started the podcast was, I think, 3 years ago or whatnot, was because I was just sick of, you know, my friends were sick of me talking about Steelers to them all the time because I can do it 24/7. So I pretty much, from my channel, I do a video each and every day that I can, live streams. I've got another podcast with a Patriot fan tomorrow. So that should be interesting. Nice. And I'm going to try and help him out of this mini rut because they think we're bad and they're 2-10 and they want to fire Belichick. But in Australia, there's not many NFL fans are here, but not overly. Like, I've seen a few Steelers fans. I've got some on my Facebook, stuff like that. But that's the whole reason why I made the channel, was so I could talk football every day. And, you know, the American audience that I get is about 85% or 90%, which makes sense.
Nice.
But, it's good stuff here. It's good fun. I watch my game tomorrow at this time tomorrow, which is good because it's prime time. Every other time, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m. You got to wake up.
Yeah.
That makes it rough. No doubt. We have Mark,
Real quick, Mark, I want to let you know this week on the NFL Network, there's going to be a documentary about James Harrison.
Yeah.
Yep. Sure. Is that another new one or this the other one?
Same one.
It's the same one. Yeah, but they're gonna air it again. So
yeah.
That's your boy.
I used to have that on Game Pass, and Game Pass started to cost me like $300, and also didn't work as well via DAZN or Dazen. So I got rid of it.
Yikes.
Yeah, dude.
That's right.
I
start doing poll work to supplement your Steelers problem.
What they did,
they pay for postage.
Goodell and NFL, they absolutely ruined it. They only gave us like one outlet to watch it. But now I'm watching on a thing called KO, which you get random games. I've been very lucky. But that's Debo Harrison thing for 45 minutes. He's fantastic. Like, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'll go back to YouTube and watch it.
And everybody, if I can say, if you guys haven't subscribed to Mark's YouTube channel, please do, because he puts on some great content and he does it daily and he interacts with everybody. So if you haven't subscribed to his channel, everybody in America should, because it's awesome stuff.
I say it's 90% Steelers and 10% I'm bagging at the Bengals. Like, that's pretty much it. I cannot stand the freaking Bengals, dude. Half my content, I've got like videos in there where I'm playing Red Dead Redemption and a truck blows up and I have the Rams and the Bengals logo. You know what I mean?
So, nice.
Yeah, I can't stand them.
Nice. We can't either. So we're all in the same boat.
But I think probably if we were to say locally here, I think the Ravens would probably rank number one as most hated Pittsburgh Steeler fans. And then I don't know.
Well, this team we're talking about tonight is I truly died because I've been to two AFC championship losses and I seriously hate the New England Patriots with a passion. So this podcast here, you're going to see my hatred of the New England Patriots because I've been there.
Well,
that was Byron Cope, you know, the last guy in the stadium. And I'm telling you, 0-2, it's terrible, terrible.
I've been there as well, too. You know, our playoff nemesis, kind of like back in the 70s. Some of our listeners are going to go back that far. But, you know, the Raiders were our AFC nemesis at the time. And now, certainly New England and Belichick has pretty much had our number, too. But, Yeah, with you there. With you there for the hatred. My the boy wonder, the 12-year-old just calls him the cheaters. He doesn't like Brady either.
I hate him.
He'll put an asterisk beside Brady's name the rest of his life, probably.
Well, JT, what about you and your guys? What do you guys got to promote?
Well, we got a couple things going on, guys. We Steelers Realm podcast. We stream live Facebook, Twitter, our YouTube channel, and anywhere you get your audio podcast every Monday post game and Thursday pregame. And then since we're going to spread it around, Shane's going to tell us a little bit about how he's involved too. But we also are with a new format, and I'll let Freight Train tell you a little bit more about that. Got a graphic for you. We're on the PSF Pro Sports Fans app, and we do some live game chats, kind of like Manning Chat, where we sit with you the whole game, thick or thin, you know, tears or joy. We're with everybody, and it's great fun. So you can catch that. Grab the app. It works on Android or iOS, PSF.app, PSF.app, and then join the Steelers group, the NFL group. They do all kinds of sports also, and there's gambling stats and stats and whatnot on it. It's pretty cool too. So even, you know, we got a lot of people that just pop in. Hey, oh, God, you know, well, like that was a shitty call or whatever, you know, together, hang out a little bit. They'll jump off, jump back in. It's a lot of fun too. So hopefully if you get some time, guys, hop in as well too. And sorry, Freight Train, I kind of took over the PSF.
It's okay. I'll just say, my name is Freight Train, and I'm an alcoholic.
You will be tomorrow.
Is this one of those meetings? I didn't know this one.
Yeah.
Was,
hey, let's go.
Hey, Freight Train, like, do your mates or your friends, like, you know, outside the YouTube land call you Freight Train? Is that your nickname? Or like,
So actually it started, I play vintage baseball, like 1860s baseball with like no gloves, wood bats. Well, me and TA are on the same team, and let's just say I'm not the most graceful runner. Like, I'm a pretty big dude, and they say that you can hear the ground rumbling when I run, so I got the nickname Freight Train. So so it's just stuck with me everywhere I've went.
Well, that's
what do you
I was worried it was because you shit yourself and you're carrying a load everywhere.
Why do you play 1800 baseball, not real baseball?
Yeah, 1860. So how the game was like founded, like the game of baseball, how it was originally.
Do you wear all the crazy clothes back in the day too? And
yeah, like we have while playing. Yeah, it's like a polo shirt and like Babe slacks Ruth. And like so back in the day, it's actually before Babe Ruth. So back in the day, they used to only play like after church on Sundays. Oh. So they had kind of dressy clothes. There's no mitts. I mean, I've caught like 80 mile an hour.
You're playing cricket. That's what we do in Australia.
Yeah, basically, right.
Yeah, that is what it is.
And like, it's much closer to the cricket than
So nowadays baseball, you catch a ball in the air. Well, let me say this: if the ball hits the ground, it's considered a hit, right? In 1860s rules, if it hits the ground but you catch it on the first bounce,
they're out.
Yeah, wow.
So yeah, it gets pretty crazy. It's pretty fun to watch. We actually go like all over the place. We travel like we go to like Gettysburg. We go to like Delaware. You know, all kinds of different places around the United States.
I reckon bring it back, mate. Bring it back. Put it on TV. No gloves. Let it bounce. See what happens.
Why not?
Yeah, that's like fair boxing. But
I've been trying to tell them that. Yeah.
it'd be funner to watch that than what the product is on there now.
Yeah, there's no time clock in this. Yeah,
you don't wear a petticoat or anything. It's all strict, like a button up shirt and
And you're not actually allowed to show skin. Essentially, like so, they're long sleeve like polos, and in order to roll the sleeves, they could be 97 degrees out, and you have to ask what they call the cranks. The cranks are the audience back then. They called them the cranks. You have to ask the women cranks if it's okay to expose your skin while you're playing.
Wow.
Oh, that's what I'm going to call my wife because she was just taking a bath and I walked in her. She gets really mad because a couple months ago, I jumped in with my clothes, and then, a month before that, I threw our Boston Terrier in the bath with her. So maybe that's why they call them cranks, right?
Yeah, they get cranky. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's fun though. If you ever get a chance to watch it. It's exactly like cricket.
That's awesome.
It really is.
I'm so impressed.
I just like the idea of 1860. You go all the way back there to not reinvent the game and make it. You know, you're all the way back there to play it. It's cool.
Yeah,
reintroduce it. No doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, we play in big tournaments. Like, there's teams all over the United States. I'm telling you. Like when I got introduced to it, I was like, vintage baseball? Nobody fucking does that. And then I started, and there's like hundreds of teams everywhere. I'm like, where the hell did this
just
come
from? Don't let Roger Goodell get it, because he'll ruin it.
Well, yeah.
If he gets it, he'll take it to the ground.
The right. NCAA, we'll make it fuck up a wet dream.
Yeah.
Excuse my language, JT. Yeah. I'm so pissed.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to talk about last week's game, but let's not, because that totally sucked. It's a very hiccup. But I mean, we probably need to talk about.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you mid sentence like that. I wanted to give a quick plug out for Shane real quick before we jump into this.
Okay. Too.
But you know, we were introduced to Shane.
We couldn't see in the corner, Shane.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm wearing red too. I don't know what else you're
wearing. That's all right.
Take
the stage, brother. So anyhow, we met Shane. We introduced Shane through the PSF app, and he's kind of became part of our team. But he's got a lot of other things going on too. So I wanted to give him a chance to get his plugs out there and how to follow Shane as well too. So go ahead, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do a Steel Curtain podcast. Steel Curtain is a fan-sided website. If you guys have heard of fan-sided before, I write for the Steelers site for that. And I do the podcast as well with a co-host. We usually go twice a week. Right now it's once, just because he's taking care of his sixth kid, believe it or not. Not for me, but good for him. So I'm taking it over the reins for right now. We go 1:30 p.m. Eastern, Tuesday and Wednesday typically. And I also, like I said, I write for that site as well. So if you check out the site, you'll see some stuff written for me as well.
Sweet, sweet.
Man, I can't believe there's somebody out there that has more kids than I do.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, you got like 12?
I was just going to say that.
Jeez.
He's blowing up on.
Hey, talk Mark, about a podcast rivalry.
Freight Train has a lot of kids. Freight Train has a shitload of kids. He is two kids away from being a fucking Amishman.
I got a village.
If you put my, like, just my, if you just take the kids my co-hosts have, I can field a whole team and reserves. Like, just took all the kids back
in the bench.
Freight Train can play rugby sevens with his.
Shane, you know what's funny about that statement is I grew up in Amish country.
That's
so.
Me too.
So I consider myself like a quarter Amish.
We all did in Indiana, Pennsylvania. It's the same. I see the. Well, I don't see him behind my house anymore. But hey, I got a ton. Before I start making my comment, I got tons of people on Facebook. Todd, Chris. Debbie Adams, Benjamin already got his score. Steelers are going to win tomorrow. 24-17, Benjamin. I love you. Alan, thanks for tuning in. Todd says it's going to be 3-0 like the Miami Mud game. Timmy Palmer's in the house. Jim LaManna's in the house.
Hey,
Ralph
Tim.
Williams from Beaver County Radio. We just did the Wrestle Talk across the country.
Hey, Ralph.
The Steelers are going to win a division, Benjamin says. Big Matt says, Watt is always held, no flag. Eric Steele's in the house. Ralph Williams says 2000 Cordell at quarterback, 2000 Ben, quarterback losses to New England. And Burns is in town. Fire every effing coach, top down. And he says Butch and Luke will agree. And he says hire Jimmy Leland. Donnie Fulmer's in the house. So, and Donnie Fulmer says they're not playing as a whole as a team that wants to win. Some guys are playing their best, but others are just happy being there. And Mr. Martell is in the house. So, and Matt says we are awesome. So that's, I'm done with the Facebook stuff. I had to get that out of there because we got a lot of stuff, and we got Mr. Smith in the house too. So
yeah, Gene.
Yeah. So, but now, like I said, we aren't going to discuss Sunday's debacle. I mean, you guys did on Steelers Realm. I didn't do it on my Black and Gold show because I really don't need to, because it sickened me, but we have to talk about probably the quarterback controversy, because I know Mark is not being in the Mitch Trubisky. He's not carrying the Mitch Trubisky flag. So let's talk about that. Pickett's done. Might be done for the rest of the year. We got to go on the Mitch train. Anybody disagree or agree? Let's discuss that a little bit.
There it is. Where are we going on the on the Rudy train?
I mean, I'd like to know what happened to Mason Rudolph, right? Because when you look at the preseason, I mean, if you take anything out of preseason, besides the offense looked fucking way different in the preseason than it did the regular season, obvious. Yeah. I honestly thought Mason Rudolph had a better preseason than Mitch when you look at the body of work that Mason had. So why is he not worthy of at least having some sort of competition to have a say-so and throwing his name in the hat to take over the reins? Like, something had to have gone sour there that nobody knows about.
I think it's the money they gave Trubisky has something to do with it for sure. Because and Rudolph is not the same guy up in 2019. He's changed. It's been 3 years. Surely he's better than he was then. Not saying he's the best, but he's a guy to see on the bench. He hasn't been given a chance. And now would be that chance. Yeah.
Rudolph is different since he got hit with his own damn helmet. It's a fact. It's not even. Yeah. I'm not even being funny, guys.
Yeah.
It is funny, but he got whacked with his own damn helmet, and he doesn't have his shit together.
He has the strongest arm out of all three.
He's the best quarterback out of them, but they paid Mitch the money.
Right.
Mitch has won playoff games. They think they can manage Mitch better, and that's why he's playing.
I think for me, guys, and I've been on this train since really watching Mitch play for us last year, right, whenever he started the year. Mason is the middle ground in terms of styles between the two guys that have started games over the past 2 years. Kenny is more conservative than Mitch, but Mitch is more likely to turn the ball over. I think Mason has the right balance. He's not going to win you games probably, but he has a little bit more of a chance of going down the field because he's more willing. But he also probably isn't going to have three turnovers in a game and blow up the game. Like, Mitch is very capable of doing that. I think if you're trying to win with Kenny, right, we literally have seen it.
Yeah.
If you want to try to give yourself the best chance of winning a game, I think Mason would be my choice. Mitch has more theoretical upside because he's a better athlete. He can make plays on the run. He doesn't do that enough, not well enough in his career up to this point for me to think that he actually elevates things very much, right?
I mean, isn't that why you play Mason the game? Is that why you play the game?
I trust Mason more to win a game than Mitch at this point.
Herb Edwards even said it.
Yeah.
you play to win the game.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm very much on the Mitch train of not him being the best quarterback on this roster, even with the Kenny injury, to be starting right now.
So unanimously, out of all of us, we have no choice, but some of us would probably – I would try to take – I don't know. I think all our quarterbacks are pretty much the same. We don't have anybody that's edging anywhere, and they just signed Trace McSorley. They had no quarterbacking thing that I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, I know somebody behind center is going to actually get us to where we need to be, and it's scary because I believe they might have wasted a draft pick on Kenny Pickett. I mean, I wasn't into Kenny when they drafted him. I wanted Jordan Davis, but the Eagles took him. And I got people saying Mitch's last chance to shine. Burnsy says Trubisky is a bloody wanker, he said. And Eric Steele says Mason is a statue. He will get killed the way the line has been playing. Both running backs are missing blocking assignments. So,
it is tough right now. It is tough, guys. I'm just going to say, like, no, there's no right answer to this in terms of, like, one of them is going to drastically change that.
I'm not ready to jump.
You broke your damn door.
I did.
When he was drafted, Mark, Bubba broke the door to his closet. He was so pissed.
I was so mad.
He literally had kittens. He went and had a kitten fit.
Because I was okay with the quarterbacks we had, so we can actually build something with a line offensively or defensively and just gamble with what we had. And there was really no quarterbacks in that draft. And the only reason why we drafted him, I know Burns is going to agree with me. The only reason why we drafted him, we didn't want a Dan Marino scenario again, and that's why we took him.
Yes.
And now we're going to have the Ryan Leaf
honestly,
scenario.
Right now, you could argue that Kenny's not even the best quarterback in his class.
He's not.
Will Levis looks better than Kenny Pickett.
Well, he wasn't drafted in the same class, but I get what you're saying, Freight Train. But
was a year
after. He's a rookie. He's a rookie this year.
Is he? Yeah, they're all merging together because I'm quarterback starved.
Well, Sam Howell's better than Kenny Pickett right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
mistakes and all. He's
it's Malik Willis. Yeah. I'm sorry. Wrong quarterback.
Willis can't play either, but still.
Yeah, he sucks too. Yeah.
Has a bust here, too. right?
That's the point, though, too, because now with Kenny Pickett being injured, we can't see him for the next five games. So it's kind of like it does feel a bit – I feel a bit, like, lost or a bit depressed because now I've got to watch Trubisky. But Trubisky now has the best chance being 29 years of age. If he's got four games to show the Steelers and himself, someone else to go and, you know, reinvent his career. Otherwise, it's back to the same year as last year. We don't know who Kenny is, and we got to see the O-line get better and stuff like that. But I support Kenny, but we'll see.
So, Mark, what you're saying is there's a chance that he could turn into trade bait if he has a good showing.
Could do, but I think we've been trying to have a good showing for Trubisky for five, seven games now. Like he won two good games maybe against the Buccaneers.
He came in and helped out. Yeah.
So, and Trubisky just to me, he just bores me watching him. That's why, and maybe that's not really an analyst perspective, but as a fan, I just get so boring watching him play.
Well, you know, Mark, towards the end of the season last year, when Kenny came in and kind of lighted up, there was excitement.
Yeah.
You know, towards the end of the season, it looked like, you know, the arrow was
those
pointing.
Last drives, JT. Those last drives made him somebody, and that 50th anniversary against the Raiders made him something that day. Those last drives.
Right.
Other than that, that's it.
Right.
I mean,
my point being, though, is that at times when he had a concussion, the one he was out, Mitch comes in.
Four times he's been hurt.
Mitch comes in. What happens? The air gets deflated out of the balloon and it's back to the same vanilla type of offense. And you could just see it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one more point on Mitch, and I'll go ahead and release this subject. But one point about Mitch is like, as soon as, you know, he was announced he was going to be the starter, it was amazing to me how the social media turned and said, well, finally, you know, they've been on Kenny ever since. Mm-hmm. But how the media turned, like, well, every time Mitch comes in, they score. And I'm like, boy, you people have a short memory.
That's how it is, though. That's how it always is.
It's how it is. Yeah.
Always, the grass is always green on the other side.
It's the next guy. The next guy. Always the next guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll be calling for Mason. As soon as he throws his pick, they'll be calling for Mason. You know.
Well, I got as long as they go 500, everybody is happy and gets a trophy, Burns, he says. Dean Pretty Dalton, much. I feel like we have the most predictable offense in the NFL. And I agree with Dean, Mr. Dean Radford. I totally agree with him. We are so predictable. But let me ask you guys another question. Dante Johnson celebrates that touchdown all about himself. And now he stated that, you know what? We took him too lightly. And then Tomlin was trying to do that with Jaylen Warren, and now he has to go back and redo that with Dante Johnson. Dante is turning into a major problem in Pittsburgh, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very sad.
It's not a Dante problem, Bubba.
It's a culture problem. I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand it's a culture problem.
It's a Tomlin culture problem.
And it's bad, and it's going to get bad. But the thing is, though, who do we have, though? If we don't have Dante in the last five, we don't have anybody.
Well, so look at the lineup. Pickens. All right. Same thing. Calvin Austin, the third. Where the hell has he been?
No way.
They're not creative enough on offense to find a way to get him the football. No. He's not good enough as a route runner right now. And is
not
very clear.
Najee. All right. Walks away from interviews. He's like outspoken about the whole running back pay thing. I mean, this team is in disarray, guys.
Mm-hmm. I never thought it would be.
It could be like, whoa, whoa, whoa about this all. But it's like you mentioned culture. There it is. It's all laid out for it.
It's been like that for a while.
It has been.
But honestly, last week, guys, I thought we weren't going to lose any game going into the last game against the Ravens, and that could have been for the division crown. And I have no idea where I'm looking at now, for real. And it sucks. It's terrible.
I'm taking it 1 week at a time.
I was looking, you know, and Steele says trade Tomlin. That's what I'm getting on my Facebook. So I'm getting a lot of responses on this side. But, I mean, do you guys see Dante, and before we talk about New England, Dante being around next year? Because I do not see him being
No, he's going to be a draft day trade.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I could see teams being interested in him if the Steelers are willing, because he, as a player, just on the field, whenever he has the ability to actually get out there, he has a valuable skill set. Like, you can't really deny that. It's just at some point it doesn't matter but for an offense like this.
Especially. Shane, let me ask you, how valuable is he with only catching three touchdowns in almost 2.5 years? He's not that valuable.
For us, no. But for another team, he's getting 10 touchdowns a year just from his route running, in my opinion. Like, this is not an offense that uses a player like him well enough. At the end of the day, like, he doesn't have value to us. Not with the way we like to play offense, because everything is so to the outside that he has no potential. Like, once he wins his route, it's that he catches it. So it's always to the sideline. It's always something else. He also has the issue of when he catches the ball, he always wants to run backwards at first for some reason. That I've never really figured out with him. I'd love to ask him.
What is with that? Because I try and defend him, but he's like 50 good, 50 bad.
It's really weird. He's really great, and then he's a strange player. He is. But like, just in terms of winning his routes, not many players better in the NFL doing that. It's what he does after that. And also with playing in an offense that doesn't really encourage that very much. It makes it hard for him. It does. So I'd rather see him on another team.
He's crazy. So. He makes outstanding catches, and then he goes backwards and tries to run too much. In his rookie year, he was pretty good with, like, Rudolph throwing to him and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And now, I guess, maybe the offense doesn't go around him. But honest to goodness, he's 50% really good and 50% really bad. And you go, because I like DJ, because you go, oh, something can happen. And the next minute, he's going to fumble or make a bad catch.
He's a weird player for sure.
Or he's not going to catch the ball at all in the end zone. It's like ridiculous. Like, I have somebody said a fourth round pick for Johnson. And then somebody says Dante will sign with Belichick. And Dean says, as a true athlete, there should be no celebration if you have time against you and you're down 2 touchdowns. Tomlin is a patty cake coach and needs to be a coach and set the bar instead of letting the team do what they want and being their friend. Performance reflects leadership, and Tomlin needs to hold a better standard or he got to go.
It's hard to disagree with it. You know what I mean? It's hard to sit there and defend when you watch what's transpiring in front of our eyes. You know what I mean? Like, we've all watched the Steelers long enough to know, like, what the standard of a football team is. You know what I mean? Like, half this shit would not have happened with Bill Cowher under the helm. Yeah, I mean, you never heard about this stuff. And if it did happen,
no,
you're gone. No. You know what I mean? Now, all of a sudden, progressively, year by year, it's always somebody. It's always somebody. And it never ceases to stop.
Is it more, though, of a culture thing being now in 2023, everyone's about themselves on social media and like the young players are like that rather than, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago? Because I think, look, DJ Pickens, I think all these receivers, all these guys, they do seem to be about themselves and not the team. When I watched the game in 2004, it was team-based. It was communication, team-based with Ward, you know, all those blokes. And you know, it was like our football team. But now it's like, hey, look at me, the yards and fantasy points. I think Tomlin, I'm a big Tomlin guy. There could be a scenario where he might go the next year and then they just both say can after 18 years. Or he could get another extension. I don't know. But this DJ, he's a mind F. That's it.
I think it's really tough, Mark, because, like, I think at this point with players especially, and I saw this interview, I forget who did it with him, but Joe Schobert, if you guys remember, linebacker for us for a couple of years after going the Browns and Jaguars and stuff. But he talked about how, and I think this is part of why this is a problem now and wasn't a problem earlier in his tenure, is Tomlin does have the idea of letting the veterans kind of handle things a lot of the time in the locker room. He wants them to take accountability for things and be the guys who kind of step up in those situations. And whenever you do that, it works when everybody's on board. But as soon as you have a couple players, and that has started to happen more and more at the NFL, where you have players who, you know, whether rightfully so or not, you know, depending on how you feel about it, they care about getting theirs, getting what they want, getting what they think they deserve, all that stuff. It becomes hard as a peer to tell that guy, hey, you need to do X, Y, and Z. We expect this, you know, X, Y, and Z out of you. Opposed to your coach, who ultimately employs you at the end of the day, who gets to decide whether you play or not, doing that instead. And if Tomlin isn't doing that, that is definitely something that either has to change now, or whoever it ends up being in the future needs to not kind of follow in those footsteps in that way.
This leaders is going to lead. Be a dilemma.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. If you're the same age, younger, or you step into that role, you see someone screwing up, you stick a boot in that ass and point them in the right direction. Tomlin inherited it was a learned leadership style that he came in, and it was completely different than Cowher, yes. But he had a team full of leaders when he stepped on, you know, into into three. It was Three Rivers then.
Or no, it was Hinesfield.
Yeah. It's still Hinesfield, Shane.
It's still Hinesfield.
Yeah, I don't know what it changes Three Rivers like again or whatever. I'm just being a smartass. But listen, you know, he came in. He had leaders there. He could in his leadership style then, because he was a young coach. He's one of the youngest NFL coaches at that time. But he never adapted or evolved. He just kept that leadership style and let them handle it in-house. And it started to bubble over 2017, 2018, when everyone was you know, all the old guard was gone. I've tarped on this every freaking show, but that is what it is. I want to ask one question to the group before I'm done talking for quite a while. I want to ask you guys this. Is there a benefit for Kenny Pickett being out? I mean, we have an offensive line that is abysmal. You know, if you are on the Kenny Pickett wagon, is he going to get knocked on his can a few times, maybe have a real serious injury instead of a high ankle sprain? Just some thoughts there. You know, have you know, Mitch come in. Maybe it's the catalyst that moves us in the right direction. I don't know. I'm trying to be optimistic here.
You know what, Shane, you bring up a good, interesting point here. And that is that the timing has to be right for that scenario to work. And I think it is here. And I'm not quite ready to throw the towel on it. What we've seen so far is Kenny pretty much has sucked so far. Mm-hmm. You know, I threw this question out to our group a while back. Was Kenny holding the offense back, or was the offense holding Kenny back? But anyhow, back to the point of being, will it do him any good, Shane? I think absolutely. But the timing wasn't there for Tomlin and his stubbornness to be able to actually do that and say, you know what, dude, you suck. It's time for you to take another perspective on this game and watch it from the sidelines, and might just kind of change some things there.
I don't know. I think him not being in the lineup right now is a deterrent for him, because we're not going to see what Kenny Pickett could do without Canada. Last week at you know, Cincinnati, he was you know, lighting them up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now last week, that first drive, he was lighting them up. If he would have got that touchdown when he ran it in, we wouldn't even be talking about any of these scenarios that we were talking about. I just think that he's so disoriented and he's so scared to death to make mistakes, and they don't want him throwing an interception, that his play is not where he needs to be, because he's not going to start throwing down the field, because he doesn't want to get Tomlin don't want the picks, because we cannot come back from the picks as we saw last week. I just think it's a deterrent without having seen more of Kenny without Canada. And I don't think we'll be seeing Kenny at all this year, because if he's going to get healthy, he's going to get healthy against the Ravens. And putting him against the Ravens is probably a not good thing coming back from injury. You know, that's just my take on it.
It's tough.
He's on his back. Yeah.
I think the problem too is, and like, I think you both have good points in terms of like, was it a right time to sit Kenny? I think especially a couple weeks ago, I even asked that question on my podcast. Was it worth letting him sit for a little bit and just kind of reset, because he was so discombobulated? He felt like he didn't really know what he wanted to do as a quarterback. Then obviously Kenny gets fired. He has maybe his best game of his career against the Bengals, just in terms of him personally playing. He's very accurate for the most part, all that stuff. And then he gets hurt against the Cardinals. And I think the most disappointing thing for me with that is now we won't get to see how much he can improve over the course of the rest of the season.
Right.
Because again, at best, he's probably playing against the Ravens, which maybe will be an important game. Maybe it won't be. Maybe the Ravens will even be resting guys, which that might be a good way to get him back in the lineup then. But it's going to have to take a very specific situation for him to come back and for it to be good for him, though, I think, the rest of this year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think what I want to see is, because we still technically can have Kenny for, what, two more years on his rookie contract.
Before you'd have to pick up a fifth round.
Right, yeah. So I think what I'd like to see is keep him in there, leave him out the rest of the year. But we need to seriously, as soon as the day that the season ends, we need to get this offensive coordinator position filled or with somebody to work with him the whole offense. But during the draft, I think it's pivotal that they honestly, seriously consider a contingency plan if it does not work with an actual offensive coordinator that you hire. we need to seriously consider having some sort of a contingency plan, because this draft with the quarterbacks, I mean, it's probably one of the better drafts to grab a rookie quarterback that are actually good NFL products. So I'd like to see them get one up higher and then see what happens with Kenny with an actual offensive coordinator. And then we make that judgment like halfway through the season.
Shane, you know Shane's mean? Muted again.
He's muted.
No, I was just going to say offensive line. Guys, you know, he can't learn anything if he's on his freaking back. And he's like a second late on throws or not seeing stuff. Week in, week out, he's just a little bit behind. And taking a step back, getting his mind right, I think it's so important, you know, if you're going to save this kid's career. If not, they're going to just shit can him, and he's going to be another might have been, you know?
Yeah.
What do you fellas think? I know it's going a bit too far with five games to go. But what do you think they're going to do with the OC? You think they're going to promote Eddie Faulkner or someone like that? No. Or are they going to get someone in?
They better not.
Yeah. Because whoever comes up with the OC is going to also – the Kenny stuff. Kenny's out the whole year now. And it's like what Shane said on the left or right-hand side. That way somewhere. I don't know. Somewhere over there. We don't see him now. That's why it sucks. We're like, oh, damn, now we can't see the rest of it. And even if people do think he sucks or whatever, you still can't see the last five games. We have to wait the whole offseason again. And do we play that game again? So to me, if you get another OC, is he going to bring in like another quarterback?
Like, I think you said, Bubba, you hope it's not Faulkner because you're tired of promoting from within, and I am as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it just depends on how they play the last five games. Like, if the offense looks better than it was, I wouldn't be surprised if they let it go with the current grouping.
Oh my God, I'll be so pissed.
It sucks. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. There's a couple guys out there that I think are just low enough on like the totem pole where some of the teams
tons
might
of
feel.
Offensive coordinators right. now that exactly. it's a smorgasbord now.
Mm-hmm. So I think there's guys out there that aren't even going to cost that much, because we know the Steelers don't want to pay for assistant coaches, but aren't even going to cost that much. That would be better options than those guys. But I wouldn't be shocked if, especially the running game keeps working, if whoever's playing quarterback plays better than they had been under Canada, I'm not going to be shocked if they'd say, you know what, especially if they don't make any other moves around the coaching staff, just say, hey, you know what, you guys figured it out, go for it. So I'm hoping not, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, here, let me, I got a ton of comments, guys. Yeah. Brian Riddick set back and forth, so much wrong with the new, these team coaches, must watch the game film. Dean says, keyword team, we have more individuals representing the Steelers now, more than a team mentality. Todd says, I agree with Shane. Tomlin inherited that team and didn't build it. Steele says, the message is stale. Tomlin needs to go somewhere else and start over. And Dean says, Pickett being out is good for him. He can clear his head. If he's able to rally this team, a few weeks of not getting sacked five times a game is good prescription. And only to benefit Pickett being out is the elevation of Mitch and Mason. That's all offseason he needs to reboot on how to read a defense. Oh, my God, these guys. I'm trying to keep up. Steele says he will be back against the Ravens, probably making the playoffs. The Jags will be done without Trevor Lawrence, and the Browns are done, Steele says. And if they promote within, I'm done, Steele says. and Dean says, Kenny reminds me of Matt Leinart from the Cardinals. Oh, my.
Oh, Matt Leinart. That's a callback.
So, okay, I got everybody up. And, this could be – this could be whatever. I mean, this team is just it's crazy. And as we're talking, hey, I mean, there's so many topics we can go in any rhythm, because tomorrow night against the Patriots, it's even Steven there. Yeah. This is the worst line in betting history, I believe.
Well, there is a saving grace, Bubba. And this in all seriousness, there was a report of people flying in to Pittsburgh airport. And Tomlin was to interview with them. When he leaves the Steelers, he's gonna write the little expressions for Chinese cookies that what you get with takeout.
Well, before we go to somewhere else, and we're still on this Tomlin kick. And I do like Bill Cowher. Bill Cowher went to the AFC Championship with three different quarterbacks. Tomlin has not done that at all. I'm just saying that. And if it wasn't for Big Ben, he wouldn't have got anywhere where he's at. I understand that he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I understand that. I don't care if the Pittsburgh Steelers head coach is purple, green, polka dotted. I don't care what color a person is, okay? Mm-hmm. But it's very stale. We've had a lot of talent on this team, and now, like, less than 2 weeks, it could be catastrophic, and if stuff happens wrong tomorrow, it's going to go bad. Losing to 2-10 teams 2 weeks in a row, that's just effing ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a fair point that someone brought it up about the staleness of it. I think you can acknowledge – you don't have to call him a bad coach to acknowledge that maybe it's not the right fit anymore. Because I think the problem is there's teams that could use a guy like him, like the Chargers. Imagine if he was coaching the Chargers right now. With all the talent they have and their defense just can only play good against bad teams. And like if they could just get somebody in who actually can – do something for that team that can actually provide something other than what Staley's provided them. Teams like that, like there's teams that could value him or have value with him. I don't know if the Steelers are at a point where they're going to get significantly better under him because of that. I think it's just it's stale at this point. Like, I think it's a fair question to ask if it is or not. Power.
And I think that's key word there, guys, with that. It's just become stale. We've seen it. We saw it with LeBeau. You know, it's just maybe just time, you know, let him it's go somewhere time. Else. Everybody's like, oh, he'll be gobbled up as soon as, you know, the ink's
probably
going to
be
good
dry. For him. And they'll probably get off for it. Yeah.
So what? It's time for something fresh.
My thing is, if we get the next coach, right, we win the Super Bowl next year. Is that Tomlin's players? Just legit. I'm a Tomlin guy. No one's going to tell me that. Like I hear it all the time. I'm actually sick of the argument, but I'm a Tomlin guy. Yeah. Sorry, Shane. I like him because he's been my coach for a long time. I like the way he's a person, and I still think he gives us the best chance to win. But legit, if we get the coach next year, do we complain about, is that Tomlin's players? Because it wouldn't be.
I've never been into that argument myself.
It's not even Tomlin's players. It's the general manager.
Oh, there it is. All right.
you know what I'm getting at, though, right? You understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I said it.
I never understood that. But
he could walk away next year from the contract. That'd be his last one, and that might be the best for because it has been 19 years. It could be for the best for both sides of the party.
I think it would be best for both.
Oh, Burns! Yeah, it was stale bread back then, Burns. It was stale. And I'll get to some comments, but let's get to tomorrow night's game.
Let's tee it up here. All right, so we're back. We're home again. Acrisure Stadium, prime time, Thursday night football. You can catch that.
What a matchup, guys.
On Prime, KDKA TV handling that locally in Pittsburgh. And we got Al Michaels doing play-by-play, Curb Herb Street.
Oh, that's awesome.
That asshole.
And Kaylee Hartung on the sideline, the game call. So also, if you're just listening, you can catch them on the app. Bill Hillgrove doing the play-by-play, any of the Steelers radio network channels, including WDVE, the flagship Pittsburgh station, Greg Wolfley on color, Missy Matthews, and Max on the sideline. Weather, partly cloudy, chilly with 39 degrees, a little bit of winds out of southwest. Steelers trail the Patriots. They lead the series 18-16, 7-5 coming off our worst loss since the 40s to the Cardinals. The Pats coming in at 2-10, having lost 5 in a row, and are 1-8 in their last 9 games. And I thought this interesting stat: the over under 30 points. And
I don't even think it's going to get that.
Given 6. Oh God, no!
I mean, I'm a betting guy, and I'm staying away from this game. I'm not betting anything. I'm not parlaying.
Literally
anything. I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, I'm staying away from it. And do we even know who's playing quarterback for them?
Zappy. Should be.
Oh, gosh.
So, you guys recall the last time the Steelers faced the Patriots on Thursday night football. Mm-hmm. They won. That was 2015, and they won 28-21. And this is Mitch's second time he'll be facing the quarterback, the Patriots at quarterback. Last
and
time
the Patriots
was lost,
guys are 4-1 against the Steelers in prime time.
Yeah.
Not a good. Not good.
Not good. Tomlin 3-8 against the hood.
Did Trubisky lose last year? Right, week 2, 3, was it?
They had that fumble. The fumble with what's his name? Ben's buddy. We caught him. Freight Train. Who was that guy? We hated
the running back.
Punt returner.
Punt returner.
Oh, Gunnar Olszewski?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, lost Gunner. That game, yeah.
The Duke of Hazzard. That's what I like to call it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So week 2, 17-14, we lost that one. So
yeah, but
it's going to be lower than that.
This is a record. Mike Tomlin is 3-9 against the New England Patriots. 3-9. These are not good historical records here, people.
No.
You know, and it's just and Bill is 13-4 against the Steelers. And he's 0-1 without having Tom Brady.
I'll tell you what, there's a secret, guys. They should go in, have the equipment manager sew some sleeves, sew that shit up on Belichick, and then he'll be handicapped. He can't win with sleeves.
But the thing funny, guys, is they didn't have any. When they had this game, they didn't have any player. They had Bill Belichick against T.J. Watt. They couldn't have put a player in for their highlights.
Yeah,
but
they're
their
bad.
Defense is good though. Their defense is very good.
It is, yeah, especially against the run. Especially against the run.
Yes,
yeah. Which seems to be the only thing we can do now.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I got if Pittsburgh doesn't beat the Patriots big tomorrow night, the playoff chances are shot. Hate to say this as a Steeler fan, but something needs to change fast. Todd said that. Steele says 2018 was the best Steelers offense ever, and they didn't do shit. And Allen says, if they lose tomorrow, I boycott the rest of the season. Steele says, trade to the Bears or the Commanders. I'm thinking Tomlin. Dean says, Cowher was an animal. His emotions made that team each year to drive harder. Tomorrow could shut the city down. If they lose, the fans are on edge. Steele says 13-7. Mitch throws one touchdown for Pittsburgh and one to New England.
Totally
and
possible.
If the Steelers lose, the Steeler fans will riot. And Jim Lentz says, great chat tonight, guys. Heads will roll if Tomlin loses back-to-back weeks with 2-10 teams. Now that Canada's gone, Kenny is hurt. It all falls back on Tomlin moving forward, if anything. Tomlin is now exposed, and I'm caught up with everything, guys. So, yeah, I mean this, and then their running back, the Patriots running back's not even starting. We got Ezekiel Elliott,
old Ezekiel Elliott's out there, yeah. So,
but our run defense is not. It was good 1 week, and then last week James Conner torched us.
If Roberts can't go, because that was the difference when he was in 2 yards a carry, when he was out 5 yards a carry last week. So if he can't go. With the groin, I know he's trouble. Questionable. Yeah, it's our linebacker.
I got Brian Burns is inside linebacker. Burns is going to be playing inside linebacker, and then we're screwed because there's 500 yards that the Patriots will get.
Well, let me ask you guys this: against Cincinnati, he ran it what 8 times, 9 times?
Yeah, 8 or 9 times.
They abandoned the run early.
Yeah, 16 yards they had.
So.
But Connor in the first half wasn't – they
no,
were
yeah,
shutting
everybody
down.
It was when Roberts went out. That's what really screwed us. Yeah.
But if they would have scored that touchdown and then they drove the whole way, 99 yards, that broke the Steelers back, and then the lightning struck, and then everybody was going back to Oz.
Did they elevate the Pokemon sorcerer for this week or no?
I think it's going to be Jack. If anyone gets elevated, okay. It'll be Miles Jack.
All right, gotcha.
That's who they got, Miles Jack.
Yeah.
Was he an electrician or something? Did they get
an
electrician?
Was going to be. Yeah, it was gonna be. Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, great. We got an electrician.
Did you say magician?
And a...
Is he a magician?
No, he was electrician. He was electrician.
Oh, magician. That would have been better.
But also, we got Minka got a broken hand.
He'd be clubbing
TJ's,
it up out there.
TJ's not 100%. I mean, this. I mean, when we get to that down the road,
the whole team has hurt feelings.
It's just. 2 weeks ago, I had high. I'm praising, and it looked good. Yeah. It looked really, really good.
It did.
And last week, it just pisses me off when we lose to teams like this, and it slaps you into reality. Like, oh shit! Like I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that as the Tomlin game. I thought that the Texan game was the Tomlin game, but also too, Texas, you know, Tomlin's getting out coached by rookie coaches this year. Yeah. It's just got awful.
Well, I think two of the injuries that I'm feeling the most there, and this guy was really stepping up his game, was Landon Roberts.
Huge.
And then with that groin injury, you know, and then the Samoan too. He was kicking shoulder. Ass out there.
Yeah.
Yep. Shoulder. You know, I don't know what's going on with Benton either.
But Nate is still just a viable reserve.
He's a good back. He's definitely a very good back. I'm not as worried about that. I think the line is going to be significantly worse without him. And that's good on them getting the depth they had. But I think ultimately the injury, like you said, the Roberts injury, like if he can't go, I know this line sucks for the Patriots. I know they can't run the ball that great, especially with Stevenson not playing. I just worry this could be one of those renaissance games for Elliott just simply because of the lineup. Like, it just is totally possible with this team. So,
has this ever happened where every inside linebacker in a year went down? Has this ever happened historically ever?
I mean, this many? This many? I don't know. Your top three guys all going out?
I've never seen this.
That's tough.
Yeah, you know it's bad when you got an electrician and a WhatsApp Pokemon card.
Well, that guy got busted for ripping people off.
Yeah, that's why he's there. Yeah, he had to come back and make some money.
Let's sign him up. Yeah. Why not? Yeah.
This is unreal. I mean, this is just and then just injury. This inside injury bug. I mean, Holcomb was. I mean, we had like, and then
they were playing Kwan. Good.
Kwan was really good. You know, Alex, I mean, it just, I've never seen this. Like, it was like the Grim Reaper took a big giant machete and just wiped out every middle linebacker we had.
We signed three new guys, and they all get, like, we get depth too. Roberts was supposed to be depth, and they all get hurt. Like, everyone dies. Like, what are we doing? But go ahead, Mark.
I reckon Devin Bush got the voodoo doll out, man.
I mean, at this point, I'll take him just to stand there.
He's got one tackle all year, hasn't he?
Right.
If you put him in the right spot, they might run into him for a tackle.
Get in the way.
At least he's there.
It's
a mess.
Steele says move Herbick inside, he said.
I've seen talk about that as a Wisconsin fan and as a guy who watched him play in college. Could he do it? Absolutely. Do they want him to? Seemingly no. And I kind of get that because changing him in the middle of the season when he hasn't worked in the linebacker group is a lot to ask somebody to do. But if they need him to play a few snaps, I think he can do it, especially as a blitzer. If you just like, hey, just run at the line, he can do that at least.
I don't think he has the size for that inside anyhow.
I don't know. He might. You know what, though? He maybe has tenacity.
For a modern-day linebacker, he's bigger than most middle linebackers. It's just that he just doesn't play that spot normally, right? It's hard to ask him to do
that. Right, and he's outside. Right.
Yeah, so. Whew, this is crazy. This game tomorrow night. This is crazy.
Well, and a familiar face is coming back to town too.
Is he going to TikTok?
I don't know if he does that anymore. Actually,
he doesn't do anything anymore. That's fair.
Injured or what's going on with Juju?
No, this offense sucks and he's not good separating. So how are you gonna throw him the ball? Right. It's hard to throw a guy a ball whenever you only can do contested catches and your quarterback sucks. Like it's just not gonna work out.
Let's be candid here. He was opposite of who was he opposite of?
AB.
Yeah.
Right. So
December was last year, he was fine for the Chiefs too. Like he can't separate, and when your quarterback sucks, it's really hard to throw. It's hard enough to throw to a guy that doesn't separate as it is. But if you're really good, you can make it work. Mac Jones sucks.
Which play is going to light him up? He's going to want to tackle him the most.
Steel. There's no way I run faster than Juju. There is no way.
I think he was well liked on the team.
Yeah, the players liked him. Yeah, I mean,
likable.
When he did that block to Burfict, I think he kind of earned everybody. Yeah, like the players at least are always going to like him no matter what. So.
But if he comes into Pittsburgh tomorrow and has the winning touchdown,
we
won't make it out alive. And we're not even going to be there.
No,
that's funny.
But the tickets, I see tickets going tomorrow night for $45. $45.
Yeah, I was gonna go because I was like, it's $45. But I was like, you know what? If this place might not exist if we lose, so maybe I don't want to be there just in case.
Yeah, it'd definitely be ugly. You guys see Steelers freak. He's got a solution to inside linebacker.
Yeah.
If Arvin shanks a punt, put him in for punishment.
Well, Percy Harvin tomorrow has to make every punt count if we can't score. And actually, the New England Patriots punter is just doing phenomenal, kicking over 50 yards and has, I believe I had it marked down here, he had 10 or 15 inside the 20.
If I'm not mistaken, get this much practice. I mean, it's not like yeah. the rest of the league. Like,
well, hopefully we don't get. Well, hopefully we don't get stupid penalties on our special teams like we did last week.
Yeah, that was something else too. That was so weird. Kilburn's great.
That was bad
too.
That was bad.
Kilburn's awesome usually. Yeah.
And Boswell don't miss a field goal, so everything was wrong last week that went wrong.
That was not right in the air for sure. That was a whole mess.
He got a lot of the system.
Even last week, their punter killed as well. Gilliam went 50-50
oh,
average.
He was really good too. Yeah, he was not making it
so
easy.
So it was just an odd game all around. Chris Boswell missed a kick. That wasn't right, you know?
Killebrew fell into the
just into straight up like turner. Fell down almost. And it, like, that was so. I'm like, I almost wouldn't call it penalty. Like, I know you have to technically, but I'm like, he wasn't trying to hit him. He was trying not to face plant on the ground.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Yeah, can't
talk. Hey, well, at least Deontay Johnson got a touchdown.
At least he got a touchdown.
That's right. He did.
So we were all able to sleep.
28 punts inside the 20. That's 28 punts. Ooh. The punter Bryce Bargend, 28 punts inside the 20.
No wonder they're
oh shit!
Holy hell!
That's that is could be crucial. That's
deadly,
because if we get pinned down there, the lovely Steeler offense that's averaging 35 points a game. yeah, I mean that is a big
3.5 points a game.
Well, I was smoking weed. I said 35.
Okay, gotcha.
But
he was trying.
I got you.
Yeah,
I got
you. So that can make a huge difference. Their special teams with the punter. Because Percy Harvin hopefully does not make the team next year. Hopefully they get somebody else. I thought he would have been better too, but
yeah. It's too bad. Yeah.
And then I couldn't name, I don't know anybody else on the Patriots team, because it's not the Patriots team of old, of a Bill Belichick.
I'm a psycho, so I probably could name you 40 of their 53 players on their roster right now. Because
you're God bless you there, yeah, Shane.
Exactly. I don't want to be me. Just so everyone knows, like, I'm not trying to brag about that. I'm not saying you should do that. I just am a weirdo, so that's just how.
Well, you like football and the NFL, exactly. But I just hate the New England Patriots, and I think they all suck.
That's fair enough.
You know,
I can't really argue with you on that.
I just so oh my. This is going to be something tomorrow. So, you know, let's go around the horn and give a major key for tomorrow. One major key for a Steeler victory, because this is a Steeler podcast. We're not, you know, a major key, one major key that everybody has that the Steelers can win tomorrow. JT, you start it off.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to say field position. You know, we were just talking about the punts. I think field position is going to be crucial in this game, and to not turn the ball over. Just that simple. Just that simple. Mic drop.
Special field correspondent. What do you think? As because I know what you're going
to
be picking.
I would have to say I'm going to say, you know, I was going to say, of course, Trubisky likes to cough the ball up every now and then. But if they can hold on to the ball, establish a run against a very good run-oriented defense, there you go. Maybe have one of those defensive, what do they call it, pick sixes? Or, you know, the defense help us out a little bit. Boswell, you know, this is going to be probably a 3 field goal game. You know, Steelers will you know, score 9 points. And it's going to be very depressing to watch. I hate to break everybody's, you know, break the news to everyone, but it's going to be an ugly game.
Mark, what do you think is be one key or a couple keys to this victory?
In my mind, I've already changed it 3 times, so I'll go with this one. With I'm going to go give Darnell a shot. I don't know. Give Darnell the ball. I like seeing when he gets the ball. Like, I know that he can do run block, that kind of stuff, and that's like their offense. But get him out in some pass patterns or something, because that fella gets a ball. He's 6'8". He falls forward 4 yards. Like, give him a chance. That's something different. We don't. What's he caught the ball 5 times this year? Something like that.
A couple times. Yeah.
He's physical. He's a huge bloke. Like, he's a big guy. Get him the ball. Yeah. Make him fall forward.
See, I would say that they could use him in the red zone more, but you'd have to get there first to be able to do that. So, right. Like, that's kind of the issue. But, you know.
I don't know, man. So, something like that. Like, just use tight ends.
Well, and you know what, Mark? If you parlayed Washington to get a touchdown at plus 1,200, You could win. You could win.
I did last week.
Plus 1,200. Yeah, I did too. You? And
nothing happened. Nothing. Like,
no.
It's like we don't have an offense. There's no red zone offense like the old days of Ben. It just doesn't. It's not there.
No, we don't get there.
So. No.
More offense is not known for, and I'm sure Freight Train is just discombobulating every situation that he has because it's not anything that.
What do you got, Freight Train?
Well, so we all know Bill Belichick and his defense likes to neutralize your best offensive weapon. That's just how his defensive game plan is. We've seen it even when we played them all the time. It was either they took Lev Bell away, took AB away, whatever it may be. But we're going to have to run the ball in this game. You're just going to have to. And they're going to have to be able to make sure that when we get to third down that it's not third and 9 and third and 12, make it manageable. Because we were, 4 for 11 on third downs last week? That's atrocious. You know what I mean? So we have to make it manageable for Mitch because I don't like the idea of Mitch throwing the deep ball. It floats like a butterfly and it doesn't sting like a bee. So make sure that, you know, there's short intermediate passes like we're used to seeing, but you got to keep the ball moving. And it's crucial for, I think the NFL app or whatever, the site ranked our running game as the third best in the league.
But Najee's is hurt. He's not 100%. He might not even play.
Yeah, but let's face it. Jalen Warren's been the best running back on the team, anyways.
I don't know. I like that double combination. I like
the balance is important for I think both of them. Right. But I agree. Well, Warren playing is more. It's like if I had to pick one to be ready for this game, it'd be Warren. But yeah,
163 yards averaging the last four games.
We need to make sure that those third downs are manageable. I know it's been a tall task this whole season. But, like, in this game especially, you want to prolong those drives and get some sort of points out of your drives. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care if it's 9-6. As long as we have the 9. You know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah, at this point, it is really more about winning by any means necessary because we wanted to see growth out of this offense at this point. We're not going to probably see that with Mitch playing especially. So let's just
get it done somehow.
I don't care. I'll piggyback off you, Freight Train. I think my biggest key, I'll do one for offense and defense. Offensively, I would legitimately...
She's overachiever. We didn't get to do one for the defense. Hey,
listen, you could have thrown out more.
Somebody has to fill in for TA, right?
Listen. Yeah, exactly. I need to make
sure. He is missed. I will say he is missed.
Oh,
is
I can't missed. Even imagine what he'd be saying right now about...
Oh, I know.
I can't.
And yes.
No, but offensively, I would legitimately do this if I was coaching staff. I would run the ball every single play of every drive until the Patriots score points of any kind. Because if you can commit to it long enough, I don't care how good this run defense is. They're going to get tired of it eventually.
You'll break them down.
Yeah, right. At some point. So until the Patriots actually score enough where you no longer can rely on the run and can reliably do that, do not let Mitch get in the way of what you're trying to do. Do not let him get in the way of the game because, frankly – what I would do, too, is if at any point in this game Mitch throws a ball into triple coverage, I don't care if it's intercepted. I don't care if it goes 10 yards over everybody's head. Yeah, Mason's in. You're out. I'm not doing this stuff with you. You do it every game. I don't know what you're seeing out there. That would be another thing. And then defensively, I don't care if you have to put 11 guys in the box. Make Bailey Zappe beat you and make them not be able to run the football and then make him actually throw over your heads. Because I know we it's possible with this defense. We know the secondary has been rough. But make him actually.
Whoa! Not the whole secondary, dude.
Hey, I didn't say the whole secondary. I said the secondary. Watch yourself. I'm not giving any crap about Joey Porter Jr. We know how much you love Joey Porter Jr. He's been great.
We know
he's got a club in his hand. There. He's not catching nothing. Don't let him throw it over your head. That's all I'm saying.
Oh my! Speak the TA gospel. That's funny.
Somebody asked.
Well, let me get to some. Steele says no turnovers. Todd says a Steeler victory will be because of a defensive touchdown.
Would love it.
Allen says a couple deep balls to Pickens and two defensive turnovers.
That'd be great.
And Todd says lock Tomlin in his office. So I mean, we haven't gave our scores yet, and we'll do that here. But I think I agree with Shane running the ball. But I also agree stopping him. Because they're not going to be able to pass on us. But I think Mitch needs to use somebody we haven't even talked about this whole podcast, and he didn't have a great game because he had a game 2 weeks ago, is Freiermuth.
Yes.
Freiermuth could be the key component to this game, throwing short passes and absolutely running the ball, and, you know, that could be something. And I don't know why they didn't use him a lot more last week. They got away from it. And I think I'm going to have to be high for this game tomorrow night and drunk. But I will that's my keys. And then I'm going to go, and I'm just going to go right with my pick, and I'm just going to go right around it. I'm going to take right. I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers, right, and I'm taking them 17-6.
Holy shit. Onslaught.
I'm not happy with it. I hope Mitch Trubisky, I don't know, hopefully his girlfriend gives him everything, the love that he needs, and he throws for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. But I don't see it happen.
Yeah, and you know what? I agree with you, Bubba, there. Would like love to see us give Belichick a little page out of his own book and just beat us to death with those short, quick passes over the middle to Freiermuth. But anyhow, I'm going to regress a little bit. I'm going to play a little bit a little reverse psychology here. I'm going to say that there's not one touchdown scored in this game, but the Steelers eke it out with a late field goal by Boz, 9-6.
Wow. Ooh, that's a lot of booze and a lot of drugs tomorrow. Oh, yeah. Jesus.
You're going to have to pray
It's going to be a long game.
Special field correspondent, what you going to say? Because, and you can say what you want because I know.
Uh-oh.
And you can say what you're going to say. 10? I know what you're going to say.
Steelers score three field goals, 9 points. They lose by 10-9. And I'm telling you this because, hey, you should be happy, Steelers fans, because every time I pick the Steelers to win, they lose.
Me and JT were on the streak for a while.
They win. Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. Me and you were like 0-5 on picks for like the first 5
weeks. Yes, yes. We were on the same lines.
I knew you were going to do that, Shane. I knew it because it's been the whole year you've been doing it.
Only one time I got it right. Every other, like, my picks are pretty good, but the Steelers always shit the bed for me. So.
Shane, I'm going to go to you below me, and then I'm going to let Mark, since he's our special guest, the final say. So,
gotcha.
Shane, who do you, what's the score, and who do you think is going to win?
Similar to you, I got 17-10 Steelers. As much as I wish that they didn't give up a touchdown to this piss poor Patriots offense, I have to assume they get one just because you got to assume they will with this team. They're going to give up at least one. So I'll say 17-10. They get it done. Mitch does just enough. The running game does just enough. We get out of there with a win.
Okay. Freight train. Thinking hard. The smoke is coming. Choo-choo. Uh-oh. This, I don't know.
Gotta get stretched out. Gotta get there. Right.
I think I actually –
he's about to say something.
I know.
I
can feel it.
Actually have a really good feeling about this game. I think overall, I think this team's a little bit embarrassed, and why shouldn't they be embarrassed?
They should be.
By losing how they did last week. And I think that Mitch too risky might have his best game as a Steeler in this game.
There you go, Mark.
And, I'm going to go 24-3 Steelers.
Holy shit.
Still the under, though.
Still the under.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Still the under.
All right.
You know what? I'm going to feed off that because I want this to be the most confusing season ever.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that would just be for the yinzer of all yinzers would be like, well, we cheered on Kenny. He shut the bed mid-season. And then we got to cheer on Trubisky, who we didn't like, and now we like him again. Oh. So I know this is far-fetched, but I want to see a game like 35-6.
Oh,
because
gosh.
I think that'd be funny.
That'd be the funniest thing.
Just
how bad we are all the year. Like, it's not going to happen, right? But it's how bad we are. We lost to the 49ers. We lost to the Texans. We hate Tom and we love Tom and we fire Canada. Then we're good. Then we're bad. Now we're good again. And I just think we're just this roller coaster.
The chaos.
But
it
happens.
Yeah, it's like playing the stock market. You know what I mean? Mark, like there's cliffs and goes down.
Mark, that's the highest. That's the highest score because nobody is on here doing it. You got the highest score everywhere.
It's not gonna happen.
I think that's fair.
The Indians would lose their mind. we'd all lose our mind. We go.
No, the best way though, too, the best way that could happen though is for like four defensive touchdowns and one touchdown from Mitch. It still sucks. Like we're still bad, but like
TJ Watt gets so one to get right. Defensive Player of the Year award. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, see, I didn't say all 24 were by the offense. I said they were going to score 20. But I tell you what, speaking of drugs, they must have the good shit in Australia to pick 35 points.
Yeah, man. All right, sometimes you're right and a lot of times you're wrong, but if I get it right tomorrow, then I'll clip this and I'll put it on my YouTube.
I will be thinking about it. Yeah. I will be thinking about
every
it
single day. I'll be like playing they're
growing that out of kangaroo shit.
well, Ryan says, sorry, Bubba, I hate to see Kenny go down, but I read a report that he was about to get benched before he got hurt. And
I read that too. It was kind of guy. Weird.
Do you draft another quarterback? We talked in the first part of our show. We're not going to rehash it, but we all had different philosophical opinions on the Kenny Pickett situation. Chris Elliott said Steelers 10-9. Steele says they don't.
Hey, Chris.
He doesn't think they lose two in a row at home. And he says, we are in for a treat. What a Thursday night football matchup between Marisotta Mitch and Bailey Zapp. And I'm still saying 3-0. Todd says, Miami Mud Bowl 2.0. And he, what's he smoking, Freight Train? And play defense and use Warren. Ryan says, Steele says the defense will need 3 touchdowns for the Steelers to score 35 points.
Yep, that's what
Ryan says 9-6 Pitt. If the Steelers score more than 24 points, I'll buy you guys all some Bob's Pizza. Oh, okay, right. Thanks, Todd. And then Ryan says those mushrooms grow over there on kangaroo shit. So yeah. I got everybody's stuff, yeah. And I appreciate everybody on my Facebook stuff with all.
Mark,
the
have you ever boxed a kangaroo? Like, have you fought a kangaroo over there?
Nah, there's a few blokes over here that have been on video, like they've stolen a kangaroo, stolen someone's dog, and he's like,
I remember that video. Yeah, yeah, they're just like, look at him, like, oh, all right,
they're pretty massive, man. The male kangaroos are like Debo, they're huge.
Oh, they're scary looking, dude. Yeah. Like, you ever see, they look like they're looking at you too much. Too.
Oh, I got a question for you. If we have time,
yeah, oh, we got plenty of time.
I asked this question to Ike Taylor, Merrill Hodge, and I think a few other guys from the Steelers. Would you rather box two kangaroos, fight two kangaroos, or James Debo Harrison after his 99-yard interception? Who would you rather fight?
After the 99-yard interception?
After. You get a bit of an advantage.
Oh, I'm taking Debo after the 99-yard.
Yeah, I might just be able to knock, just push him over because he was getting oxygen and everything.
I'm taking the kangaroos, but if a third one comes hopping in, I might need some help.
Well, boxing and wrestling's two different things, and if he's so tired, he's not going to have his hands up.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, he's on the ground. Yeah, I said he wants him on the ground. He won't let him up. Merrill Hodge went to Debo as well, and only two people I think have chosen Freight Train being one of them, chosen the kangaroos to box two of them.
Oh, I just thought they'd be sneaky. One of them would get up behind you and Debo after get you in the back of the head or something.
Oh, no, Ryan says, go Ravens, King of the North, Action Jackson. Uh-oh.
I've got a Raven.
We'll see you week 17. We'll see you. He said, we'll see you.
Lamar won't be there. He'll be injured.
He won't be playing. He plays shitty speaking. Against the Steelers anyway. Yeah, he's 2-4 against Pittsburgh. So
we'd rather have him play against us. And
yes. Be injured. Oh, yes, my God. Yeah. So this game here, this mega cast is the number 7th. So would you guys be into doing one at the end of the season and seeing where we're at? If we're into play. Now, if we get to the playoffs, we'll definitely do a mega cast. Definitely for the playoffs because I'm all about that. So if everybody's all interested, because this is
playoffs.
Mark, you interested?
Playoffs?
Well, if he we said can, if.
I got to be positive, Freight Train.
He said if.
I got to be positive.
I just hope we can beat a 2-10 team.
Well, we all picked them except for Shane. And every time Shane picks the Steelers picks the other team, the Steelers win. So we're good.
Yeah,
we're good.
I almost rather them like advertised it that the Patriots were 10-2. Like reverse it. We played better.
That's true. That is true.
So we'll be good. If we get in the playoffs, we'll do another mega cast. And even after that, we will do maybe a year in review or something like that.
Season wrap.
Interested. Yeah,
sure. Absolutely.
You know, or maybe our best Steeler moments, probably when Matt Canada got fired would be mine, but I mean, I will just see. So if everybody's game for that, Mark, are you for that, for coming on our mega cast whenever you can, anytime you can? Are you like,
will it be on, what's your day over there now? Is it my Thursday, your Wednesday?
It's Wednesday night. Wednesday night. Yeah, well, we do them at nights. We do them at nine o'clock. Well,
what is it? 3 o'clock there? 3 p.m.
Yeah,
there?
2 p.m. If I'm not working, I should be right. Depending, we'll see how we go. You know, but
okay.
It will be January or February.
Well, I'm going to keep you in part of all this MegaCast stuff. If it's okay with you, Mark, right. Anytime we have one, I will send you an invite, and you can come on because you are the international, Steeler Nation, Australia, and it's just the way it is. And we also do a draft. We do our draft. And we do it live.
You do a full draft.
We do the draft live. We all watch it. Great Train had a meltdown if they didn't draft Joey Porter Jr. last year.
Oh my god! I thought the closet door was bad. I'd fucking jump.
Yeah,
if I'm not doing my own thing, I might have to do that.
He was clutching a blanket and just crying and sobbing.
Yeah, it was bad. But Shane, we do. I mean, this is the seventh one we did, and we usually have TA on. And then if JT can, get like sometimes he gets Randy Fowler, to come on and stuff like that. Yeah, so, I mean, we had Cordell Stewart on.
Any chance we get AB on as well?
We just have to trick him into doing it.
We can try.
The right way. He might
hopefully he keeps his dick in his pants.
That's views right there. They're clicking YouTube views, and we're all making some money.
Well, until it gets demonetized. But that's
yeah.
AB might come in for a few bucks. He can't be because he's spending all his money, surely. All his money's
what about Wiz Khalifa?
There we go.
There you go.
It's black and gold in my eyes.
Me too.
Before we get out of here, Shane, I'm going to let you do some plug and go down that way and around. If anything you got to plug, go ahead, guys, before we get out of here.
Like I said, just my Steel Curtain podcast. If you look up Steel Curtain on YouTube, it'll be one of the first things. We do a live show twice a week normally. This week, it's just once. I did earlier today, but go through the week of the game that just happened and also the preview of the game coming up. So if you want more in-depth breakdown for me specifically, you can go check that out.
All right, cool. Freight Train.
Yeah, Steelers fans, if the Steelers make the playoffs, B Promotions and JT and Shane Squared will announce me going up against two kangaroos in a boxing match to the very end.
I think Vegas will sanction that if we ask them to.
Yeah. There may or may not be a FanDuel parlay on it, how many hits I take and how many I land. But I'm willing to sacrifice my body for this team to make the playoffs. Stay tuned and go Steelers.
We're going to sacrifice a lot tomorrow drinking, that's for sure. Yeah. Brain cells tomorrow night.
You ain't getting.
Yeah.
Whew.
Go ahead, Mark.
You know what's funny? People would pay. I'd pay for that. I'd pay to watch.
I would. I'd rather much rather than whatever YouTuber boxing match would be on.
Of course, I'm from Steel Nation Australia. So, my YouTube channel is on there. I don't know if it's in the description or not, but it's Steel Nation Australia on YouTube. Pretty much all my content is just daily stuff talking about the Steelers and live streams and. Yeah, like I said, 10% is hating on the Bengals. If we never win one, I would rather see the Bengals never win one at all, like until when I die, like dead set. Like if I'm like 85 years old and like Bengals suck, that would be my last words because I can't stand them. Nice. So if you like that content, check that out. That's pretty much it.
Thanks for coming on, brother. Thank you so much. Yeah. Okay. Shane.
Oh, I can be seen on the Triple B Experience on occasion. And then on Mondays, I'll be on a new college football podcast, the Big 12 Fan Zone. So I'll be posting on Facebook and blowing it up on your channel, Bubba. And a lot of fun. Love talking to you guys. Let's go Steelers.
But you're the guy that picked against them.
Yeah, you phony.
He did phony. That to help him out, though, based on what he was saying.
Yeah,
he was really
based on the scores. Yeah. So, JT, what do you got?
SteelersRealm.com, pre and post game every week through the season. Of course, you can check us out tomorrow during the game. This will be our final in-game live broadcast over the PSF app. But please do check in with us at some point through the game. Let us know your thoughts so far. Get the app, PSF.app, and you can check us out on there. Great for all sports, too, NBA, MLB, NHL, NFL, call it NCAA stuff. They're adding to it and other sports,
too. Pro
wrestling. Yeah, so it's a great little app. It's growing quick. Jump on and hang out with us during the game.
Yeah, pray for us as well, please.
Yes, pray for us too. So, Appreciate you guys having us on again. Good to hang out with you, talking our favorite subject, that's Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh,
so
wait, hope, if we, oh my God.
Whatever.
Well, we got to go over there anyways to get the.
Yeah, I would love to go over there. And here's another one.
Oh, gosh. Is that supposed to be a punishment or a reward?
I don't know. I had tights, but
I'm not sure.
I did the sumo wrestling.
I'm thinking more of a Bengals tiger striped Speedo.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's
sexy. Gosh, buddy. Yeah. I'm hoping we do win tomorrow, and I appreciate everybody for coming on. You know, Mark, I appreciate, you know, you're busy over in Australia, and I appreciate, you know, you were on a couple weeks ago on my show, and you come on a MegaCast, and anytime that I have an invite, you are always invited to the Triple B Black Mill Dynasty show, and I'm sure JT will get a hold of you for the Steelers Realm podcast to come on and talk Steeler football, because the two of us, you know, we are the two podcasts in Indiana County to talk Steeler football. So, and I like doing these mega casts, and Shane, this is the first time you was ever on a mega cast, and thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
And we'll have to share all your stuff too, and get it out there. Cause the more we share everybody's stuff, the better off we are.
That's right.
Absolutely. And
one big family.
That's what I try to do on my Facebook stuff. And I appreciate everybody coming on my Facebook site tonight and just bringing the comments and then the YouTube comments. And it just helps us interact, and we appreciate everybody for tuning in. I appreciate everybody for hitting like and subscribe to the Triple B Experience. We'll be back tomorrow night to do the NFL picks and college picks with Shane, Rich Smoke, the smartest man in Philadelphia, and Freight Train. I got him this time.
Hey, also, I got included.
You got included. And also, I'll be back Friday night with my Triple B Experience show, where I go Friday nights at 9 o'clock, and then I got a big interview Monday with Dean Radford. I have a lot of stuff going on in my experience stuff. So it's going to be the end of the year. And I wanted to get this done, and Realm was doing it at 9 o'clock, and I usually do mine at Wednesday. And it was great that we could combine them. And I knew I got two comments here before I get out of here. Let me see here. I don't know. I probably can't do it. Darn it. Hold on.
Damn it.
Gene Smith said, good show, guys.
Yep.
Okay, well, I can't get your comments, and I'm going to tally-o, and I'm going to get out of here. Mark, thank you so much for coming aboard.
Awesome.
Shane, thanks for coming. Freight Train, everybody.
Let's put the Patriots on
the bomb. No, Steelers. Fuck New England. I hate you. I always hated you, and I never liked you, Bill Belichick. I wish you'd have stayed in Cleveland when we kicked your ass all the time. Okay, everybody. Have a good night.
Mama, careful not. Oh, mama.